This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Start the third hour with a sports update from One Bills Live. Greg Olsen, the Bills are waiting to hear whether the free agent tight end is going to sign with them. He's also reportedly, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, Olsen in the midst of negotiations with the Bills, Redskins, and Seahawks, each of whom met with a veteran tight end over the last 2 weeks. He's 35 years old. He'll be 35 next month. Just parted ways with the Panthers after nine seasons there. Caught 52 passes for 597 yards and two touchdowns last season after two injury-marred seasons. Greg Olsen may have a decision sooner rather than later as to where he will play his football next season. The executive committee of the NFL Players Association and player reps are going to meet in D.C., in Washington, D.C., next week, Thursday. It's a potentially consequential meeting for CBA talks. They've given the NFL a list of final issues. If they are resolved to their liking, there likely will be a vote. It's about the 17-game schedule. It's about a 10-year CBA. It's about a bigger share of the revenue cut for players. It's about a lot of things. Some high-profile player reps have spoken out against the idea of a 17-game season on the grounds that it adds health and safety risks to players in an already dangerous sport. Tyrod Taylor could be the starter for the Los Angeles Chargers at quarterback. So says head coach Anthony Lynn. He's a heck of a quarterback, Lynn told AM570 LA Sports. We could not have a better backup right now. Tyrod Taylor, the second lowest interception percentage in NFL history compared to the guy he would replace, Phillip Rivers, who turned the ball over 23 times during last season's 5-11 campaign for the Chargers. Josh Norman is now a free agent. Washington Redskins going to release him. Their choice, not mine, Norman says. Miles Garrett says Mason Rudolph called him a racial slur. That's what sparked their brawl at the end of their November game, mid-November. Garrett just had his NFL suspension ended this past week. And the Buffalo Sabres getting set. Their next game is Sunday night. They host the Toronto Maple Leafs. Sabres defeated the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-3 in overtime. Victor Olofsson scored twice, including the game winner. Got a beautiful pass from Jack Eichel for that goal. What did you think when that happened, Steve?
I thought,
did you jump out of your seat?
Now we win.
You grab your coat and run for your car? What kind of a fan are you? A little bit of both?
Is this where I'm supposed to say, well, I was actually halfway down the 90 going home? No, yeah, I know.
No, it was great.
You don't leave early.
No,
it's great. It was great.
Don't leave early.
Those are such fun. Such a fun environment.
Don't leave early. You can't leave early.
You can't leave early. Not in Buffalo.
Anywhere. It's a rule in our house. We don't leave events, movies, church, games. We don't leave early. Oh, people leave church early all the time. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
They do. People leave all the time early. Right. Hey, we got a lot going on here for this final hour, and we got it wide open, and you're welcome to join us. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Let me start with a Twitter poll because there's an ESPN writer who says that Devin Singletary, Ed Oliver, Dawson Knox, he says Ed Oliver is going to make a big leap forward in year two, and we put that up as our Twitter poll. What do you think? The Twitter poll, which rookie last year is poised for a big jump ahead in his second year? Who do you think it'll be? On the Twitter poll, 41% say it's Ed Oliver, the first-round pick a year ago. 34% say it's Devin Singletary. 22% say it's Dawson Knox. 2% say it's somebody else. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Many ideas on the tweet sheet on this. Phil tweets in, I think Singletary will be the best of the three, but I think he already was last year. Oliver will also greatly improve and will be scary good, but Knox will make the biggest leap. He's got the most room for improvement. He will be a beast. I like that answer. Jack tweets in, I voted other. Bashan Joseph did not play as a rookie, being on IR all year. He showed he was a thumper who fits the defense very well in preseason. With Zoe's retirement, he's on deck to take the Sam linebacker spot and be impactful. That's interesting.
That's an interesting take, and it's true. If Vershawn Joseph gets on the field, takes over for Lorenzo Alexander, and has a Lorenzo Alexander type of year, yeah, Lorenzo was a kind of a rotational player in linebacking core at the end of the season, but he's playing special teams and doing, he took a lot of snaps. If Vashawn Joseph can do that, that'll be a huge boost for the Bills' defense, no question about it.
Is he big enough, Vashawn Joseph? What do you think? 6'1". I know he had some. He had to put on some bulk, I think.
Yeah.
Had
a year to do it.
Yeah. I haven't seen him, obviously, since the Bills left here at the end or at the beginning of January. That'd be the major question I would have about Vashawn Joseph. He's 230 pounds, 6 feet, 1 inch tall. I wonder if he's big enough to man that position.
Yeah. It's always a question. But we've noted many times that the league's getting lighter. That's one of the reasons the Ravens had the success they did this year is because they were built for a big power running game and everybody else was built for pass coverage. The defenses were built for pass coverage. So they got a little boost from that, I think. So they tried to go counterintuitive to what the league trend was going to be. And they got, of course, then they had some great players as well. I mean, Lamar Jackson's the MVP. But I think it did cause a lot of problems for a lot of people having to kind of bear up in a run game where you've got 230 or 225-pound linebackers. So Vashawn is probably big enough to play there. But for me, it's always been the bigger you are, the more durable you are, and therefore the more available you are. So we'll see if he can stand up to it.
Send in your responses to that question on Twitter. Which 2019 Bills rookie could make the biggest leap in 2020? All right, now we're going to do a little thing we like to do at least once a week as we get set a week from Monday to head to the Combine. We'll do more of these next week. State of the Bills, each position, what do they have? What do they need? And today we're going to do running backs. We've done tight ends one day last week. We did offensive line earlier this week. Let's do running backs today. What the Bills have. Let's first talk about what they have. They have Motor. They have Devin Singletary, last year's third-round pick. Got 150 carries, as I pointed out earlier in the show. Still on his rookie contract, 3 years remaining. Obviously, Devin Singletary will be the focal point of their run. That's what the running game. That's what they have, and that's a good place to start. T.J. Yeldon, 1 year remaining on his two-year deal signed last offseason, counts 1.9 against the cap this year. I don't know where his future lies, if the Bills part ways with Yeldon or not. Christian Wade remains Bills property via international allocation. He signed a reserve futures contract already. He's the rugby player from United Kingdom. He's on the roster. And the fullback, Patrick DeMarco, 1 year left on a four-year deal, counts 2.35 against the cap in 2020. Those first four, you counting all four of those guys back, Steve?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll be back in training camp with him.
All four.
T.J. Yeldon may have a chance to be sidestepped because if you cut him, you get 1.9 back on the cap. But none of those numbers that you're talking about for any of these guys are backbreaking or even they are not even a dot on the radar. It's just not that much. Christian Wade, certainly they're going to bring him back after the preseason he had a year ago to see if he's built on it. And don't forget, too, you and me and everybody else, we got to see him in the preseason last year, and he looked great. But when they put him on the practice squad, that means he's practicing every day. He's better than he was. He's learning. He's going through stuff. He's a professional football player. And he's going to – a guy like him who just came in and started learning the game, he's going to get better and better and better fast. So we have a chance to see a much better Christian Wade this preseason than we even did last year when he snapped off all those big plays. So I'm really excited to see him play. So I think he's definitely going to be there. Pat DeMarco, he's not going anywhere for me. I mean, they'll certainly bring him to training camp. So, yeah, I think all four of those top guys will be there. Sonoris Perry.
Well, he's a free agent now,
yeah,
Sonoris Perry.
Right, and Frank Gore, of course. So those two guys, they could re-sign Sonoris Perry. I would see him probably giving him another one-year deal like he had. For those top four, yeah, I think all four of those guys will be back for training camp.
I wonder about three of those four, the top four. I wonder about T.J. Yeldon. If they can do better than T.J. Yeldon, I think they would do better. I think they'd try. He didn't play much last year. He really didn't get many chances last year, Yeldon. So I would worry about him and what I don't know what they think of him. I'd be interested to see. Christian Wade, I still think, is a long shot, Steve. And, there might come a point where the Bills say, look, we've invested a year in this guy. We kept him on the roster for a year as a practice squad player last year. Signed him to a reserve futures contract. Yes, he had a couple of spectacular plays in preseason games. But, you know, there's just uncertainty about mm-hmm. How much he has to make up to learn this game and learn how to train for this game. I'm sure he spent a lot of time doing that this offseason. And Pat DeMarco, 1 year left on a four-year contract, going to make me look at how old he is. $2.35 million against the cap for a guy who, you know, and I think DeMarco has a lot to offer, but, you know, for the Bills,
he's 30.
30 years old. He'll be 31 in April. For the Bills, it becomes how much do we want to pay a fullback? Now I'm looking up his snap counts because he didn't get a ton. Pat DeMarco played 15, is that right? 15% of the snaps? Yeah. That's a lot of money for a guy who pays 15% of snaps, 16% of snaps.
Well, I know, it's like 2.3. If they cut him, it's 2.35 against the cap. I hate it. It's amazing. It's the world we live in, I guess. But that's not that much money. None of these guys are. You got a first round, you got a third round draft pick. TJ Yeldon, who's making less than $2 million a year. Christian Wade, who's not making anything. And Pat DeMarco, who's the last of a 4-year deal, making less than 2.5. That's four guys on your roster that all together are making less than $4 million, you know, or certainly less than $5 million for the lot of them. That's value. I think they're all going to be in training camp. I'm not saying they're all going to make the team or they're all going to, you know, pick up their role or expand or all of a sudden break out, as we've talked about Devin Singletary doing. But I think that's the kind of value you're going to want in that position. That's about the cap space you want taken up by that with the guys they've got. But DeMarco, Christian Wade, and TJ Yeldon, that's about where those guys are going to be, even if you replace them with somebody else.
Well, that's the thing, and I want to talk about replacing them for a second. Look, the Bills need another running back. I don't think they're bringing back Frank Gore, and Sonoris Perry is a free agent. I'd be surprised, I guess, if he came back unless he comes in at a bargain rate. There's a need for an alternative to Devin Singletary, right, for another back. You look at the free agent market, big names, Derrick Henry, Melvin Gordon, Kenyon Drake, a little bigger name, Carlos Hyde. They're not going after somebody like that. But is there a running back out there that they could Isaiah Crowell from the Las Vegas Raiders, free agent now. Jonathan Williams, they've already been down that road. He was with the Colts. He's a free agent now. I don't see any names that really get me too excited. Marshawn Lynch, Bilal Powell with the Jets, kind of older guy. Looking at the free agent list of free agent running backs, I find that intriguing. And then you get to the draft, and this was interesting. Todd McShay, who's regarded as a draft expert, in the first round at 22, had the Bills pick a running back. He had the Bills pick DeAndre Swift out of Georgia, regarded as one of the top two running backs in the league this year. He is 5'9", 215 pounds, a junior from Philadelphia, started for 1 year, backed up Nick Chubb and Sony Michel as a freshman, and then led the Bulldogs in rushing in 2018. Powerful build guy. He is built low to the ground, runs comfortably with an even lower pad level, they say, the scouts say. Tough guy to target, to bring to the ground, and runs comfortably with a low pad level. I just don't see him in the current NFL. I don't see how you even have to use a first-round pick on a guy who could be a starter. In fact, this one, our lad, says that he has the look of a week one starter in the pros. Okay, you're not looking to replace Devin Singletary. You're looking to supplement Devin Singletary. For that reason, I don't understand Todd McShay having, and I'm sure he'll change. They all, you know, have you mock drafts a couple before you get to the draft. We're 2 months away from the draft. But I just don't see that right now. DeAndre Swift out of Georgia in the first round of the Bills? No, I don't think so.
Well, mock drafts at this point are meaningless. I mean, they're almost irrelevant. You think that because we don't even know who the Bills are going to get in free agency. And what happens if they go out and they get, for a bargain, they get a Melvin Gordon who wants to come to Buffalo? Yeah, I'm just saying. Maybe the guy wants no part of Buffalo. Maybe he's one of those guys that say, I'm not playing in the snow. Whatever. But for the purposes of a discussion, you get a guy like a Melvin Gordon or a Derrick Henry. Then do you think the Bills are still going to pick a running back in the first round? So there's everything that's got – there's a lot of stuff that have to happen before we can even get to the point where we know what the draft's going to look like. There may be one of these guys from Eastern Nowhere State who goes to the combine. You think, who is this guy? And he blows your socks off, and he becomes a DK Metcalf this year, right? He's the guy. Guys like that are out there. And there's going to be somebody who's like, wow, look at this guy. They're going to move up the draft board. It happened when I was coming out of college, and it happened all the way through my career. It's happened all the way through my broadcasting career. It's going to happen this year. Guys are going to elevate their draft status in the combine. So there's so much that goes on through this that we don't know what we're talking about. Right? I mean, we don't. Nobody does. These guys, they'll put out a mock draft, but that just is to prime you so you'll watch their next mock draft. I hate those things because they're never right. Not a single one of them. Not the last one. The only one that's right is the one that's not mock, when they regurgitate the picks that actually happened. Now, certainly they'll hit on a couple guys, and some of them seem obvious. But once you get past the first two of this draft, nothing's obvious.
So you're not going with any mock draft. I'm not saying that's. I'm just saying the Bills have been linked to a running back in the first round, which kind of shocked me, right? DeAndre Swift, obviously a good player, probably belongs in the first round, late first round.
Yeah.
Does he belong with the Buffalo Bills, who really don't have a need at running back? They have a need for a backup running back, a supplement running back to Devin Singletary.
But they got a strong need for a wide receiver, edge rusher. They got a Sam linebacker they need to replace, a starting left linebacker. They need. They may lose a guy in free agency on their starting offensive line. They might need a guard. They might need a right tackle if they don't want Cody Ford there, or if they don't, they need a right guard or a right tackle. And those are needs. Forget about having a guy that you've already got in Devin Singletary, getting a guy to compete with him. So, to me, that's crazy talk. And that's in a league where there's probably more than a handful, if not way more than a handful, up to half or maybe more, who have teams who will say, you know, we're not taking a running back in the first round unless things fall exactly the right way for us in free agency. So that position, to me, is still being devalued in pro football, and not only because they don't use them, but because the guys that come out of college, like this guy Swift, low to running, doesn't say anything about how he can catch the ball. And as a pro running back, that is, in a lot of cases, that's job one. Taking the handoff's job two.
This is what Arlett says. He's an every down back who catches the ball naturally and will throw the violent block against blitzers when called upon. Good. I'm sure he's a good player.
He's going to be on a team. He's going to be on a team.
But he's going to be a productive player, you would think.
You'd have to be a team that's bereft of running backs.
Yeah.
To take a guy that high, to me.
Yeah, 22 in the first round. But then what do we mean when we say, and I don't want to dwell on this, but what do we mean when we say best available player? Swift might be the best available player there at 22 when you get there.
Okay, yeah, okay, I can live with that.
So do you walk away from him?
No, I can live with it, but or a trade back, you know? I mean, at 22, you're right. You're going to be getting to that point in the draft. We've all seen, Murph, you've seen it as well as I have. You get to that point where, oh, gosh, I don't know. Now it's the fact that we might miss the guy, right? He fell so far. Gosh, we need to jump up a couple of slots, right? We've got this running back set at the early second round, but now it's in the last bottom half of the first. We might have to jump up and get him. That you'll see that, right? Where teams will stretch for a guy they think can be a difference maker on their team.
Yeah.
Swift sounds like a guy who could be a difference maker for some clubs.
For the Bills, I think running back is a secondary need this offseason, not a primary need, and something that can be filled in the free agent market perhaps, something that could be filled later on in the draft, or maybe that they just re-sign, who you said right off the top, they should probably bring back the group they have, maybe. But they don't. It's not a primary need. And the primary needs are edge rusher, wide receiver, maybe an offensive lineman, right? And maybe a defensive tackle, too. But those are the primary needs for the Bills. Right.
I agree with you. And until those are addressed, those positions are up first in the draft. And I know that you want to take the best player available, but I think I know a lot of teams take best player available who's at the spot we need.
Yeah.
So unless you fix that in free agency, that's what you're going to do.
All right, so that's State of the Bills running back spot. We're going to go State of the Bills next week a couple times. We'll talk about edge rushers next week. We'll talk about wide receiver. Maybe we'll get in a third group to talk about next week as we assess the State of the Bills as they head into the combine. All right, we've got your questions in our Friday mailbag. We'll take some of those when we come back. And the phone lines are open as well, 803-0550, toll free.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
1-888-552-550. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close. Welcome back, One Bills Live. I'm John Murphy, next to Steve Tasker with the weekend coming up. Got about 30, how do we, oh, I took a break early. 27 after the hour, got about 32 minutes left in the show. Hey, Steve, what do you think Greg Olson's going to do? You have a gut feeling on this one?
I don't.
Neither do I.
I don't.
I don't know what motivates him. I don't know the guy. I know he had a connection with the Bills brain trust with McDermott and with Brandon Bean. I don't know what they think of him, quite frankly. They've never really talked. I don't think they've talked publicly about him.
Yeah.
Is he motivated by money at age 35? Will he be motivated by money this late in his career? Is he interested in being, kind of a – a leader for a group of young tight ends? I don't know.
That's the whole thing about this whole free agency season here right now, Murph, right? Because we have high hopes for this team going forward. We think they're on the uptick, right?
Yep.
Are they seen by these free agents as, I want to go someplace where I can win now? Well, this might be the spot.
Maybe. I wonder what Greg Olson thinks about that. We're going to have to wait till
I know
to
what
see
they
where
think.
He signs.
Do they think this is a place that's on the verge? You know?
I mean, if he signs with Washington, obviously they're not
it's
ready
money.
To win this year. Yeah,
it's money.
If he signs with Seattle, you can make an argument that they're close to a Super Bowl contention. They're closer than the Bills last year. So
we'll
see. Greg Olson, I would think it's coming out this weekend. There's this news item, too, and I'm going to get to the mailbag in a minute. I think they're moving forward with the new CBA, Steve. The NFLPA Executive Committee and player reps have now scheduled a meeting for Thursday, next Thursday, 6 days away, in Washington. In reports from Mike Garofalo and Ian Rappaport say it could be really consequential, could be meaningful. They've given a list, the PA, the Player Association, has given the NFL a list of final issues. If they're resolved, these issues are resolved, there might be a vote next Thursday. So the league reportedly is looking over the players' issues, what they're looking for. And I got this note, too. Sources familiar with the current proposal say it includes concessions from the owner side on issues such as revenue split. That would be number one issue, I would think, right?
Right.
Higher minimum salaries, improved player benefits, relaxation of off-season and training camp workout rules. Let me just stop there for a second. That's not ideal, right? You have these early games now where people say they're not ready to play. That would get worse if they're not going to do anything in off-season and training camp. But
why does that catch your eye?
Because they've relaxed them a lot over the last few years, and I don't think it's helped the caliber of play. I think it's hurt the caliber of play. The fact that you can't practice as much as you used to, you can't practice early in the off, you can't practice in the off season or early in the season like you used to. I think it's hurt the level of play.
I don't know. Okay.
Where else? Improve a revised drug policy. You don't care about that. The questions the players are trying to answer among themselves, this is an ESPN report, is whether those concessions are enough to justify an expanded regular season. And they may go back to the owners asking for more concessions, whether 17 games is a non-starter no matter what. I don't think so. Don't you think the players are going to say okay to 17 games if they get some of these other issues? I think they're ready to –
some of it, if not all, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think – I don't know how – I don't know. There's so much – so many layers to this. It's complicated. It's really complicated because, there are 1,900 players that are playing in the league, 300 that are just out and – 300 just about are coming in this year. All of them have their own agenda. You can make generalizations, but I don't think there's a generalized opinion about any of those issues you just met. Some of the players are just like, no, I'll take 17 games, but I don't want any more players on the roster because that just means we split the money more. Less money for me, right?
Yeah, I think they'll make sure that everybody gets more money, right? They'll have a higher minimum salary and there'll be a higher, you know, cut of the overall.
What does like a guy in his prime who just signed a deal, what does he care about minimum salaries? You know, they don't care about that.
Right.
You know, I get the issues, and it's real, but it's, you know, some of these things don't apply to all these guys. And if it doesn't apply to you, you don't care about it. You care about other stuff.
They don't need unanimous approval.
That's
they
right.
They need a two-thirds vote by player reps to approve a new deal, and then they need just a majority vote, a simple majority required. Then they need three-fourths of league owners. And, of course, the big issue is 17-game regular season schedule. They're talking about reducing the number of playoff games, which is good. Everybody agrees with that. And expanding the playoffs to include two more teams, reportedly. These are the issues on the table. So we could have an answer by next week. What's the rush? Because there's a whole other season to come under the old CBA. They want to get it done now. They want to get approval of this new CBA. The league year starts March 18th, which is just about a month away. They want it in place for this offseason. And then the NFL can go to the TV networks and say, hey, we're all set.
They want labor peace so they can negotiate a TV deal that will be off the charts big.
Yes, what are you going to pay us now? And you don't even want to look at those numbers.
Yeah, those numbers dwarf
yeah.
what we're talking about.
They want to get it done now. So there's real pressure, not pressure, real momentum now with a meeting next Thursday in Washington of NFL Players Association and
there's motivation to get it done.
Yes, yes. And I think it will. Mm-hmm. All right. 803-0550, toll-free, 888-550-2550. What do you think about any of these issues? What's the mailbag look like today? The Friday mailbag. We're going to do this every Friday. We're going to call it the Friday mailbag. We'll take your suggestions via email, via Twitter. What do you think? It's the One Bills Live mailbag. We've got several good submissions so far. Any question you want to ask? I guess the feeling is, Steve, that we, you and I, Jay Harris, our producer, we have become accustomed to dictating the topics we talk about, right? It's not all about us. It's about you,
the
listener.
We put out a Twitter poll, and people answer our question.
Respond to our question. So now we respond to your question, right? Is that what you're looking for?
Brilliant. It's a brilliant.
I don't know about that. We'll find out. Let's listen to these questions.
Idea,
if we don't like these questions, it's not brilliant.
It's a brilliant idea that has been around since the 1920s. Okay. From Dan, he says, do you see the Bills pursuing wide receiver Robbie Anderson of the Jets or Melvin Gordon? Running back Melvin Gordon of the Chargers. Do you see the Bills pursuing both? And when I read that, I thought, well, it depends on your definition of pursue. Certainly the Bills are going to find out what the deal is. They're going to say, would Robbie Anderson play for us? Is he the kind of guy we want? And what's the number? And if all those things are in the right realm or right limits, yeah, they'll say, we're going to call it. Same thing with Melvin Gordon. We just talked about having a guy come in. And you're saying, hey, we need him to back up, you know, Devin Singletary. I don't know if it has to be back up Devin Singletary. If you can get better, get better. If you can bring Melvin Gordon in for the right number and the right terms, and he's better, he plays. I like Devin Singletary as much as ever. He can play second fiddle to Melvin Gordon just as easy as he did at the beginning of the season where he played second fiddle to Frank Gore this last season. So if you get these guys for the right number, absolutely you bring them in. Better players make you better. And Robbie Anderson's a good player, and we know Melvin Gordon is as well. That's my take.
My answer to that question is I'd be more interested in Robbie Anderson than I would in Melvin Gordon. Gordon, I feel, would be looking for too much money, and I don't want to pay a running back that much money. And I'm not looking for a starting running back, a starting caliber running back. Looking for a good running back, but a guy who can spell Devin Singletary. At this young age, Singletary should be ready to go for, you know, we talked about 225 carries. He might get close to 300, and this is the time to make him a workhorse. So
yeah.
I'm not looking for a starting running back, and I'm not interested in Melvin Gordon. Robbie Anderson is good. I like him. Again, it's all about money in free agency. Would they pursue him? They would take a look at him, I think, Robbie Anderson, my guess. But he is one of the top receivers available right behind the right now, Cooper and A.J. Green, you know, Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, Robbie Anderson belongs at the bottom of that group, top four wide receiver potentially going out there in free agency.
Yeah, he's got some skills, no question. All right, we got another question from Chris in the mailbag. He says, I see all the mock drafts with the Bills, all except the one you saw, the Bills taking a running back. But I see all the mock drafts with Bills taking a receiver in the first round. But I firmly believe that it will be an edge rusher unless we sign one in free agency. We can get a receiver in the second round. It's a deep draft. What do you guys think?
Who sent that in?
Hmm?
Who sent that in?
Chris.
Chris, agree with you 100%. I'm coming around as we're a week and a half away from our visit to the Combine, coming around to the thought that get a receiver later, top priority is an edge rusher in the draft. Edge rusher in the draft, maybe a receiver second, third round, maybe a receiver even more prominently in free agency, a lesser receiver. But, yeah, I like the way you're thinking, Chris. Get the edge rusher in the first round. Get a bargain edge rusher, and I think you'd be able to do that.
I agree. If it's not an edge rusher, a defensive tackle, or an offense, I think I've always been a big offensive and defensive line guy. Those are the top priorities for a lot of what Reuben Brown said when he was on the show this week. When your offense is working right and the plays look like they're designed to look, it's because your offensive line is good. You got to have those guys, and I think that's where you start. For me, it's every draft. But if you can get a defensive tackle, edge rusher in the first round, I'm all for it, and I'm with you. It's a deep draft in wide receiver. We could always use an elite wide receiver. Every team could, an A.J. Green, Julio Jones, and DeAndre Hopkins, those kind of guys, Amari Cooper, you name them. You can always use one of those guys. But the current construction of the Bills' wide receiving core and the quarterback they've got and the offense that they got, they don't have to have one to put them over the top. They need other players at other positions worse than they need that guy and what he will bring to the table. I think if your quarterback plays better, it limits your need to get a guy who's going to do it for him. Nobody's going to pull the trigger for Josh. So I'm with you. I think take an edge rusher or take another guy at a different position rather than an elite wide receiver that high, particularly in this draft.
Here's a name that's been linked to the Bills, Kalavon Chaisson of LSU, 6'5", 240 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the top edge rusher outside linebackers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about – I thought he was a wide receiver.
No.
Oh, my gosh, he's huge.
No, outside linebacker.
Okay.
I don't know that he belongs at 22, but he's in that neighborhood, late first round, early second round, a guy the Bills could handle. The Friday mailbag continues from John. It's a good question. On one show during the season, a caller suggested more screen passes, but Steve indicated it was a personnel issue, not our offensive coordinator. So what should be done? What do you think? They certainly can get better at screen passes. They weren't good at it.
Oh, my gosh, they were non-existent at times.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Is it Brian Daboll doesn't like it, or they didn't have the people to do it?
That's the question. Like he doesn't know how to drop a screen pass? What are you talking? That's crazy. You got to have the players and the positions and the abilities to do it the way it should be done. And there's more reasons than I can name. This is just one of them. Quentin Spain is a really good blocker at certain times. I don't know that Cody Ford is a great guy at getting out in front of screens. John Feliciano, we've seen when you see screens, Feliciano is always the guy that's out in front of them. So if that's the case, that tells you something. You don't see Quentin Spain and Cody Ford out in front, or you don't see Feliciano and Quentin Spain out in front, or Mitch Morse out in front. You saw Mitch Morse pulling around and doing some stuff, but there's only so much you can do. And if you get predictable in that way, whereas the only screen passes you throw, Mitch Morse is the guy, they can keep you from doing that. So they just, they don't let Mitch Morse release. That's what you're looking at. So, yeah, I do think there's more to it than just Brian Daboll not knowing how to run or diagram a screen or call it in the game. Yeah, there's something going on there.
All right, and maybe they can change that up this year. Here's a question from the mailbag from Anthony. It's a good one, too. He writes, maybe it's jumping the gun a little, but when should the Bills start thinking about extending McDermott? Breaking up McDermott and Bean, I believe, would be a major mistake. Anthony, when should they start thinking about it? Yesterday. I'm not telling our owners are the people who sign our checks what to do, but let's go. Let's get on this. This is the time of year to do it too, right? With before the personnel decisions are made. So to send a message to the free agents out there. Hey, the guy that you are dealing with, the guy that is interviewing you as you come here on your free agent visit, that's the guy who's going to be your coach here for an extended period, 4 or 5 years maybe. Yeah, it's time. 3 years in, Sean McDermott has, for my mind, exceeded expectations. 2 playoff appearances in 3 years. I think it should have – maybe it has too. I wake up 3 days a week this week thinking today's the day they're going to announce, and they'll do it quietly, but they're going to announce that McDermott is extended. I think it's time right
now.
Yeah,
it's funny how coaches do this, and you never, it's not in the news, right?
Yeah.
Nobody says anything about – it's like they just signed an extension to – I'm like, oh, I didn't even know they
were – you
know.
Unless you're – what's his name? Jason Garrett and the Cowboys. Then it's in the news every day, 24 right. hours a day.
Right. It's interesting, too. And think about this. 3 years that McDermott has been here is the exact same amount that they owed Rex on his last contract.
Yep.
So they finished up paying off that catastrophe. You know, paying a guy that's not working is a catastrophe. But that's gone. So that goes back on your bottom line. So that's yep. plus. So maybe they start will start doing it, you know. And
I love the message it sends, too, to extend your coach. I really do. It sends a good positive message. Like, this is who we are. This is the team they built. This is what we're going to look like for several years now, more years now.
I agree. And I had thought – it's funny because I had thought about this just for a minute, like, you know, last week, just when I was at home or whatever, and something else had come across the Twitter feed or whatever, and I thought, oh, yeah. I thought, I wonder when – I don't know how long his deal is, and I thought it was for like 5 years. I thought, yeah, we're going to – something's going to happen with that. And I'm with the guy, Anthony. Catastrophic mistake to let that guy get out.
Yes.
You know, I mean, because we're all in with this. We love the culture. We love the team. He has been unwavering and disciplined in their signing guys. The players love him. 2 out of 3 years they've been in the playoffs after what we went through before that.
Yeah. You know how hard it is to change a culture? It's hard. I mean, and Sean talked about that from day one when he arrived here a couple of years ago, building a culture, changing a culture. He got laughed at by much of the media in town. Yeah, culture. We got people, I won't name names, we got people on our control room staff who laugh when he says culture, culture, culture. You know what? He did it. They got a different culture here now. That's hard to do, but they've done it. They've done it successfully.
And it's not.
It's hard.
It's hard to change, and it's not meaningless. I mean, there's a lot in that. This is a team that you ask the players, it's a large part of why they love it here. You know, they like the atmosphere. They like each other. They like their workplace. They believe in the guy there that with the headset on, you know, and clapping his hands on the sidelines we always make fun of. They like the guy. They love being here. He's a big reason why. So, yeah, that's on the horizon. It's got to be. It's going to be on the radar, no question about it.
I hope it's like a week or two away, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be. It might be a week away, or it could be after this next season. I don't know. But in my opinion, at this point in history, there's no way that guy gets out the door. There's no way he sees the end of this contract before it's extended. I think. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't, you know.
From the mailbag, from Jay, does tagging Jordan Phillips makes sense for the Bills? I don't think so. I read an interesting post from our buddy Sal Capaccio. I think he wrote this. Did I read this? About the one reason why it makes sense is to, because it's a one-year deal, right? You get to see Jordan Phillips for one more year. Problem is, it's like a $15 million tag. I looked up right before the show started today, spottrack.com, or it was this morning, and they do a good job of free agents like Jordan Phillips assessing what their market value right. would be. They got him at $6 million. That's a big gulf between $6 million, which is his estimated market value, and $15 million, which it would cost to tag him, franchise tag him. So, no, I don't think they should tag him. I think they should negotiate with him. I think the belief is he wants to be here, so he might be amenable to doing something with the Bills, but let's see. Let's find out.
Yeah, I agree. And it might be if he wants to be here, the Bills will say, I'll tell you what, you go get your best number, give us a chance to match it, you know?
And I think he would go.
And he might do it. Yeah. He might do that.
He'll find more than
go what find the more Bills than one. Yeah, if the Bills will say we'll give you $6 or $7 million, he'll say I'm going to go. And they say if you do, we'll match it, and you can stay here, and we'd love to have you. We'll give you a 1 year deal. But here's the problem: if they give him a 1 year deal, that's different than another team giving him that number and giving him a 3 year deal with so much guaranteed. If the average is less than the $15 million franchise tag, maybe they'll do it.
He is a part-time player, played 52% of the defensive snaps last year, played very well. What, 9 sacks, right?
Yeah.
He's a good player and a good guy, and he's an active, interested, eager participant, right? He's always firing people up. But to play only half the snaps, to pay you $15 million to play half the snaps, that's pretty pricey. One more from the mailbag today, Steve. These are good questions. Josh Norman is going to be released by Washington today. He was released, I believe. Would he be a good fit as the number two defensive back? He's also wondering if there's any update on Olsen. Let's deal with that first. No, no update on Olsen. The belief is he'll come up with a decision shortly, maybe this weekend. Would Josh Norman be a good fit as the number two defensive back? Did I ask you his age? He's older, right?
Yeah, he's 32.
Yeah. That makes him not a good fit, to my mind, especially when you got – you know, Levi Wallace and Josh Norman was good 3 or 4 years ago, but you got Levi Wallace, who I still think has room to get better. You got Kevin Johnson, who I think if they keep him around will be a better player. So I don't think he'd be a good fit here. What do you think?
I think his age makes a difference. I think I would trust the knowledge that Sean McDermott has about Josh Norman because of their history together. He played for him in Carolina. Norman had the great years in Carolina before he hit the home run and went to Washington. Carolina's where he made a name for himself in the system that Sean McDermott's running. And that makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. So I would really defer to McDermott about what his thoughts are. How was he really? How is he a locker room guy? Is he a great locker room guy? Is he a guy that fit? Is he a mentor guy? Can you get him for the right number? You're not going to pay him $14 million a year to come in and be a second corner or third corner. So if the number's right, I would defer to McDermott on that because he'll know what kind of guy the guy is when you're in the locker room and the lights are not on. Is he a film watcher? Is he a mentor? Is he a good locker room guy? Does he fit the DNA of the team? And if that happens, I think give him a shot, but it's got to be for the right number.
All right, there you go. The Friday mailbag. We'll do it, I think, every Friday. Worked out pretty well today, wouldn't you say? Happy with it. I think it was good.
Very nice.
Coming back to finish up things here, One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. What did we learn from today's show? Brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Christian Fourier, former NFL tight end, former Tom Brady teammate, told us today he thinks Brady's not going to be at the Patriots next year. Here's what he said.
Why isn't it likely that the Patriots are willing to move on from him? Like, why isn't it that the Patriots, based on the information that I've seen, aren't saying, you know what? Like, we're not going to pay him $25 million. Hell, we want to be paying $15 million. I mean, because he's just not worth it, and it's time for us to move on. Because that's usually what happens. You know, I think people get their vision and their opinions get clouded because it's Brady, and he's always been there, and he's never been anywhere else, and they can't even fathom him playing in another jersey. My point is, if you play long enough, you end up being on another team.
Right.
Like, that's the rule.
Christian Fourier made some sense with that, Steve, you have to say. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
I might come around and think he's going to leave, but I just have a hard time seeing it.
He may see it. Production assistant today, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're back here Monday with more solid radio entertainment. One Bills Live, presented by Kalina Health, from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park on Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.